Welcome, everyone, to Roots Revival Interfaith. I'm your pastor, Ivy Rivera, psychic medium. Here with us today is Reverend Danny Johnson, our numerologist, and we will be discussing obedience to spirit. Today's sermon topic is, are you being obedient to spirit? So stay tuned when I'm done for Reverend Danny Johnson's part of the sermon. Being obedient to spirit is one of the absolute most important skills we can learn in our lives. Our spiritual development, our prosperity, and our general well-being depends upon how well we do this. However, it's also one of the most difficult things to learn, and it is one of the easiest things to overlook. When I talk about being obedient to spirit, most of my students and my clients tend to look at me like I've got lobsters crawling out of my ears. It is considered a radical obedience to decide above your logic and your emotion that you are instead going to make a decision based on what your intuition is telling you to do. See these other sermons in the playlist for additional help on those particular matters. So most people fail at following their intuition, their higher mind, spirit, their internal compass, because their mind overpowers. They think too much. They trust and rely on their left brain thinking, their logic, because that's how they were trained. That's how we were all trained up since we were children. And we put so much stock in our thinking skills and so little in our intuition, our faith, our spirituality, that the concept of following your gut intuition, spirit's guidance, becomes ridiculous. It becomes a sign of mental instability or something unsafe. And so in its own way, it really is the ultimate radical revolutionary resistance to the system that you can fight against and really once and for all feel in your life you've broken chains and gotten free by connecting through spirit's guidance and your intuitive intelligence in such a way you can almost scientifically understand what it is you're being told. You can have blind faith in it, and you can eventually have proof that it brings positive results. But it is undeniably a long journey to get to that point. And what we need to think of is small steps. It is an opportunity every day to show more of that trust and blind faith in spirit, to take those steps in that direction versus giving into your feelings and emotions, or you're overthinking, you're being double-minded, your excessive logic, your ego, essentially. Every time you take a step in the direction of spirit's guidance, you receive a ton of prosperity and blessings and encouragement from the universe, from your ancestors. And even if it's only a small step, it's the beginning of a much bigger journey, and you will go through many, many more tests with it. You can, at the very least, from even that first little teeny tiny baby step, start to feel the positive effects. And it's outside of you as well as inside. There is automatically an inner peace. This kind of inner peace cannot be bought. It can't be manipulated by, trying to change your circumstances by force or using your mind, your will, your skills, your tools, this kind of peace only comes from knowing and being in alignment with spirit's will for yourself. So how do we get there? Well, most people fear the most that they will make a mistake. They aren't following spirit's guidance. They aren't following their intuition because they don't trust it. They don't trust themselves even more than they don't trust spirit or psychic ability, you know, clairvoyance. They may believe, many do, but if you don't have confidence in your ability to learn and train and use discernment and ultimately decipher accurately between your imagination, your will, and what spirit's guidance is, then you will stay stuck permanently. You have to be willing to train and to work at it, which means you gotta be willing to make some mistakes. So that fear of going in the wrong direction, of reading it wrong, of thinking that you were hearing from spirit and it was really just your own mind or will, is going to happen, and that's okay. The first step is accepting that part of the process as being the learning tool that you can utilize to improve upon your discernment. No child has ever gone to school and failed a test or got a low score, and we have to remember all the times in life that the reality of the human experience on Earth looking exactly like a classroom is the driving force we should tap into to better ourselves, to remember that we're not here to pretend that we know everything already. We are here to take the tests over and over again if we have to study harder, to examine things from different angles, and to be open to greater levels of education as we go. We're never done. There's always another grade level. There's always another test. And that means there's always another opportunity for you to excel at your ability to discern what spirit's telling you to do and to move forward with it in blind faith. Even if you make a mistake, you still reap the benefits and rewards for being in alignment with good karma. So universal law, manifestation, law of attraction, right? The laws of the universe that are set in order, that are never changing, they will still be supporting you for ultimately doing what was positive and what was right at the time. And the rest of it will just come with new instruction from spirit. Spirit is a gentleman. Spirit will redirect you, your ancestors, your guides, and your intuitive intelligence will kick in and let you know when you are thinking wrong or are going the wrong way. And one of the common things to see is the use of numerology and the use of animals, totems, as symbology. There's direction all around you. There's direction in your dreams. When you're in a period of time where you are making a tough decision, you're making a big move, an adjustment, listen especially carefully to make sure you're going in the right way. But once you have made up your mind, you must keep it set and make a move in order to find out. We can't buckle under pressure and choose to do nothing. So move forward. And if it is the wrong way, you will be shown. If you ask for too many signs and symbols and too much proof ahead of time, you're still technically coming from a place of ego, which is fear and control. You have to let that go. One of the tricks that I use is to tell spirit when I've been shown I have to make a really dramatic change in my life. I say, show me three times, please. This is a big one. I'm going to need to see this three times. But let me tell you, by the second time I see the sign from spirit, I am getting fully prepared to move forward, to turn off my emotion, to pull away from the way that I feel, and to put my logical thinking aside, to be disciplined so that I do not get into cyclical negative patterns of thinking or being double-minded. I prepare myself to get ready for that leap. Then I wait for that third sign, and the second it comes, I hit the ground running and I don't look back. There really is no other way to do this. It's the off like a band-aid concept, because any other type of stalling really can cost you ultimately in the movement forward, in the prosperity itself, because the guidance spirit gives is always within divine timing. Check out this free mini class to learn more about divine timing. So another major hindrance for most people in moving forward in blind faith with spirit's guidance is timing itself. We hem and we haw. Maybe we are prepared to move forward, but we just don't want to do it right now. We just need a little bit more proof, or we're not feeling it at that time. We wait for our emotions to catch up with us. Divine timing is sort of the glue that seals the deal. And being willing to move quickly with spirit's direction is going to ensure that all of your hard work and effort and boldness is going to pay off ultimately. So you don't want to miss that boat. Now, this is a two-part series, so we'll be getting into more of the skill set and, you know, applicable situations in next week's sermon, but it's also important, I want to cover today, the examination of a life contract, the reality that there isn't anything spirit, your intuition is guiding you to do that you didn't already sign on for. You chose before you came to Earth to learn certain lessons, to fulfill certain contracts, to do certain jobs. And these are all things that you chose to evolve yourself. And spirit is only abiding by the life contract that you want to see fulfilled. So it's important to think of your intuition and spirit as being like a team with you, not a force working against you or trying to trick you or making life complicated, giving you a headache. It's the same. It's all the same. You asked for it. Ultimately, it's you telling and reminding your own self why you're here on Earth and what's important. And before we move on here to Reverend Danny, our numerologist, I will just give you guys a little history on the most difficult thing I ever had to do in blind faith that I now know about 10 years later was brilliant and phenomenal and will continue for the rest of my life to bring benefits that I never would have even dreamed of. Could not have possibly achieved without spirit and the blessings, not only for me, but for others internationally, are absolutely mind-blowing on a daily basis. But it all had to come from that first leap. So for me, it was having three kids, being a single parent, and struggling to get through my college degree in journalism. It took 6.5 years, but it was spread out over the course of 10 years. It took me ultimately to complete it. And on the very month that I was graduating with my degree, I was told by Spirit that I had to go out into the public and start being of service by offering readings. It was a disastrous move, and I was well aware of it. The stigma, it destroyed any hope I had of a career that was going really, really well straight out of the gate. I was heartbroken and devastated, but I knew that it was something I had to do. And within 4 months of opening up my services to the public, I was full-time. Within a year, the Ivy League Psychic Academy was busting at the seams. Within 2 years, we were going international. And ultimately, even though it took, you know, about 8 years, I am now using my journalism skills for all different kinds of advertisement and interaction with the public to get the greater message across about this movement, which is, you know, in part Roots Revival Interfaith here, that we need to decolonize spirituality. We need to normalize intuition. And I'm so grateful after the painful process and the fear that I did what I did. But I had to, and I think we all do at some point, had to face that fear and make that bold move, that leap of blind faith into the deepest of waters, not knowing whether you were going to sink or swim. And I'm so glad I did it. And it's always interesting to me that every time a new challenge comes up, where I have to dive in and I don't know how the water's going to be or how long I'll be in it, that the second I dive, there's a lifeboat waiting for me. Spirit's always on the other side, waiting to take me to the next place. And no matter how far out at sea you get, when you're living your life according to Spirit's will, you are truly never alone. But when you insist upon doing it your own way, you really are on your own.
Hi, I'm Reverend Danny, and I'm excited and happy to be here with all of you with Roots Revival today. I am also happy to engage in our conversation today about, in our sermon today about if we are being obedient to Spirit. So sometimes, so when it comes to spiritual obedience, I feel like I feel, and when preparing for today and asking Spirit to really kind of like break down how obedience, how I relate to it in life, because it's like something that it feels like I engage in, I know it, like I live it, I feel it, but to compartmentalize it is something that I needed God. I needed help, Spirit to help me with that. And when Spirit sat with me, it really kind of broke down to a general overarching life perspective, like life contract work, as well as the everyday. So obedience to our life contract work, the work that we promised God that we would do before we got here. Obedience to Spirit means when we are being shown and we are being given flashes of our past lives, and when other people are the mouthpieces for God and are saying things that relate to our purpose and the work that we're meant to do. And if at a certain moment in our lives when we may not feel as aligned, or we might feel like we are resisting doing that work or engaging in the work that feeds our soul, and the reason why it feeds our soul is because it was work that we promised God that we would do. Or if it is something that we know that we might want to do, but we're just not quite sure how to do it, and we're a little bit afraid as to how to do it, that is where obedience comes in. Obedience, even in the recognition that there is something that needs to be followed, and the willingness to follow suit in that way, and the willingness to surrender. when it comes to obedience, obedience is very much connected to surrender, surrendering to God, to spirit, to our guides, knowing that our ancestors know better than us. That's a part of obedience. And obedience is also in the everyday. It's in the day-to-day. It is in the, so my, you know, if planning out your day, it's like, okay, my plan is to do X, Y, and Z at 6 o'clock. But something is telling me something, or something, or they're being, if someone, which is probably not random, but somewhat randomly, what might feel like a random request or a random ask by someone to possibly do something for an hour before doing what you plan to do, that may not necessarily be a random request. That could be an ancestor being channeled through someone, having you hold off on doing what you thought you were supposed to do until a little bit of a later time. And obedience means also having the discernment to determine whether or not that person who's making the ask, if there is something more to it, and really listening. And every time we listen with our souls, we hear the answers that we need. There is not going to be a time that we are here in this incarnate, in this lifetime, where we ask, what is this? What am I supposed to know? And what we need to know is not going to be revealed to us. Now, what we want to know probably might not be revealed to us, especially if we're supposed to accept things and know things and go through a process that requires trust and faith. We might not see everything that we want to see, but we will always be given what we need. So that is where what obedience means and how it has shown up and how it has become a part of my life, and as a medium and as an empath and as someone. So I know that this mediumship work, healing work, is a part. I know that this is work that I promised God that I would do before I got here. Everything in my life so far has affirmed to it, even down to my ancestral roots, my father's family all being from New Orleans, my mother's maternal family being from New Orleans, feeling connected to spirit since I was a baby, like that. All of that is just very much connected to and prepared me for the work that I'm doing now. And now it's a matter of listening and doing and trusting. So one of the things about spiritual obedience is that sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense in the earthly plane, on this earthly plane, or from a rational perspective, or from a logical perspective, it's not going to make sense. However, from our soul's perspective, like our spirit, our soul, when we are obedient, there is a peace and there is this just a perfect alignment and order. There is just this indescribable peace that we feel when we are being obedient. The thing is, when we might not know why we are, well, we know why we're being obedient because it's just something, it just feels right. But as to the why we are being asked to do what we're doing, or why something, even in terms of timing, might be pushed back or even pushed up, obedience always makes sense to the soul, but it very sometimes may not make a lot of sense here on the earthly plane. And the thing with obedience is it is very much an individual connection, an individual form of communication between us and God and spirit and our ancestors and our angels. When we are being spiritually obedient, sometimes it might not make sense to the people around us, especially if they themselves, now this is no judgment at all. All of us have profound and meaningful life paths and life purpose. The thing is, if one person's particular path and purpose is designed to be continuously and vigilantly connected to spirit and listening to spirit in a really, really, in a way that might not seem as natural to other folks, the decisions that you make and the choices that you make might not make a lot of sense to them. If all of a sudden, if you decide, let's say, if there are plans made to, let's say, go on a trip, and Spirit says you can't go because of X, and you might be shown half of the reason, half of X as to why you can't go, but Spirit knows and the ancestors know. And being spiritually obedient means, okay, listen, friends, pals, loved ones, I love you, I'm sorry, but I just can't do it. And when saying no and being obedient, there is this like wave of relief, wave of calm and trust, and almost this presence that you know that there are loved ones who are watching over you and who are proud of you for having made the decision, even though here earthside it might not make a lot of sense. And sometimes being spiritually obedient could sometimes mean potentially disappointing folks and having to say no or having to say not right now, or sometimes withdrawing. And we might not know why we're withdrawing, but we're just showing that we have to. That those are circumstances that can be a bit, again, we know that it's something that feels right for us, but the why behind it and the impact that it has on this, in the physical space, like on this earthly plane, it might not always feel good, but the peace that it brings to our soul is just absolutely invaluable. And very often the reason why is revealed after we are obedient. And I've watched and I've seen Spirit do that with me over and over and over again. Some of the examples, a couple of examples as to how spiritual obedience has kind of played out for me in my own life. And I asked Spirit to show me some kind of the examples that they thought would be most salient for our sermon today is, so one of those things being timing. And I know I kind of spoke on it, touched on it a little bit earlier, but divine timing is absolutely essential, and it is something that protects us and something that is make sure that we are exactly where we need to be when we need to be there. And so with timing, that's something that I've become very acutely attuned to with God and with Spirit, because if there is a program or an event or something that I am excited about going to, and I am committed to going, and Spirit says, yes, of course, absolutely, you can go. You can't go at this time. You need to go at this time. And not only will they tell me as to when I need to go, but they will, the ancestors and guides and all who love us, all who love me, will inadvertently, what might feel like a subtle addition to my plans, which then pushes up or pushes back when I plan to arrive at something or where I plan to arrive. It could be at the store, it could be at an event, it could be anywhere, but I've just become very acutely aware and attuned to timing. That is how obedience really shows up for me. And I noticed that if there are moments where, and I try to avoid as many of these moments as possible, but if there are moments when I might feel a bit willful because I say, well, I said that I was going to do this, so I am going to do this, and it does not work out. It doesn't work out, and it's never worth it. So that is where an example of where obedience has shown up for me. Another example of obedience that really I know was a part of my contract, and it just prepared me for my work in Spirit in so many deep ways. So, and I know I've shared this in other spaces in Roots Revival in our work with Reverend Ivy and Reverend Christina, but I'll share a story of when I went to Cuba. So in 2018, I had the chance to go to Cuba with, I was invited by one of my mentors, my dear mentors. I went with a group of people who were just incredible. And while in Cuba, I had really deeply spiritual experience, and it was transformative. And I know that my trip to Cuba, it was preparatory for work that I meant to do with regard to social injustice, but it really, even more so, I feel in my soul, is connected to my own spiritual journey. And I felt the ancestral, the presence of our ancestors. I felt so much while I was there. And what I felt was connected very much to what I learned in training and mediumship with Reverend Ivy. So the thing is, when I came back from Cuba, I was told under no uncertain terms, and this is, this is more from a spiritual perspective than more so an interpersonal or a personal perspective. But I was told when I came back from Cuba that I was to, be celibate for 8 months. And under no uncertain terms, there was no negotiation. There was no, but if, and there was nothing. Like, I was told and I was shown to sit, read, work on my own healing and work on my connection with God. That was it. And they said, and to keep this from a spiritual kind of lens, that anything that's meant to come later will come later and will be there waiting for me. But until then, I am not to focus on anything other than my own healing. And what's interesting is, so spirit knows us, God knows us, our angels know us, our guides know us in, out, backwards. I mean, they know us like the back of their hands, right? So when they told me this, they made it very clear. They said, okay, now listen, this isn't some, and they really broke it down this way because they know I needed to hear it in this way. They said, no, this isn't, you know, a form of control. This isn't some patriarchal, good girl kind of a thing. They're like, no, this isn't that. They're, you know, they're saying, you're a human and we love you and we love you in any decision that that you make. They said, however, you need to really work on your own inner healing and you need to just work on your relationship with God. They were so focused on that. And they said that anything outside of me focusing on God and having that solitude would be a distraction and not, you know, and no one would be like an intentional distraction, but they just said, we just can't have that. Lo and behold, after that 8 month period, very soon after, I started training with Ivy. And all of the work, all of the internal work, all of the spiritual work, the shadow work that I did during that time period literally prepared me for the work that I started to do with Ivy. And it was, I'm so grateful and real, and I'm just appreciative in countless ways that the ancestors and guides and spirit were so relentless with making sure that I had this message, that I understood what I was supposed to do. And what's interesting as well, so I have shared somewhat about my own spiritual journey and my connection with an angel, Orisha. Her name is Oshun, and she is the patron saint of Cuba. And it is no coincidence that soon after returning from the country where she is revered in the way that she is, that I then started this journey in preparation for this training in mediumship. It's all connected. It is all divinely orchestrated. And my only job in all of that was just to listen and be obedient. Now, there were moments during that time of seclusion, really, where I didn't quite understand. Like, it felt wonderful, and I did feel myself healing, but I didn't quite understand the why behind it. And it wasn't until I wasn't meant to know until later on as to why I was instructed to sit and focus on my healing in such a deliberate way. So that is how obedience has shown up for me, and the impact of what that healing moment meant for me in 2018, moving into 2019, is still like the impact. I still feel it today. And I now know moving forward that if the ancestors or guides or spirit tell me to do something that I might not quite understand, I'll know that there's going to be a reason for it. And I know that the reason will be revealed a little bit later on. So obedience to spirit is very much also connected to faith. And not knowing the full reason why we are being shown and told to do something while still doing it, that is that That is faith in motion. That is faith in action. And faith is very much at the core of obedience, because knowing that those who are guiding us and giving us direction and instructions, they know what's best for us. They only want what will bring us to our best and highest good. And so when I am shown and told to do something and I might not understand the full reason behind it, that is when I know to connect with faith. And that's when I know that I am not to just rely on my own little pea brain to figure out what is going on. Like, they have my back. They love me unconditionally, and they love all of us unconditionally in that way. So, with regard to the numbers as well. So, numerology is a part of us. It's always present with us. When there are moments when we are shown and given instruction and told to do something that we know in our soul is the right thing for us, the best thing for us, but we just might either might not know why, or we just might not want to do it. So the numbers will show up for us. So especially the numbers 1, 4, and 9. The number 1 really is really connected to being okay with solitude. It is also being content with plotting, like that hard work, that just plowing ahead, like doing the work that's necessary without knowing the why behind it. That is what that number 1, and number 1 is also very much connected to endurance. So when it comes down to that hard work and just working, knowing that there is a greater purpose, that is where number 1 comes in. Number 4 is the number of that, the slow but steady wins the race kind of a number. That is like the tortoise and the hare. That's the tortoise who goes at its own pace, no stone unturned, and will want to do the work right. Like, they are very much more concerned with doing work properly and doing it right the first time around than having to repeat themselves and having to go back and have someone, either they themselves or have someone else, have to redo the work for them. So for anyone who either number 1 or number 4, if there are 1s or 4s in any of the major numbers in your one's numerology chart, that is energy that we can absolutely tap into to, when it is time to be spiritually obedient, the energy from those numbers can help us to feel a sense of comfort in working, in doing, without necessarily knowing the why behind it. Also with number 9, like the number 9 is the number related to like self-sacrifice, not martyrdom, not I'm a sacrifice and there's nothing that I can do about it. No, that's not it. It is, number 9 is knowing that there is a greater purpose, that we are working towards something very powerfully, like working toward legacy, and being willing to do the work necessary. So being willing to lose a little bit of sleep along the way in order to make sure that a goal is attained, knowing that the work that they put in, not to the point of self-depletion, but just enough where we're able to give a little bit more than we might ordinarily in order to make sure that a goal is attained. That is also, the number 9 is also connected with spiritual obedience, because knowing that the work that is being put in is leading to something much bigger than us, and being willing to do it with an open heart and with a happy heart. And speaking of which, with regard to a happy heart, part of spiritual obedience is also the how we are obedient. So when we are shown take action or not take action, or if we're given instruction, having gratitude that we are even given instruction in the first place, that is, gives us the opportunity to embrace what we're being shown, embrace what we're being told, and do so in a way that will not only keep us in a peaceful place as we're being obedient, but then allows for what is next to be revealed to us. It's like by us being grateful and having a content heart, a happy heart, as we are being obedient, it then shows God and Spirit that we are open to and that we are worthy of their trust to show us what's coming next. And that's all like part of the journey and the process too. So saying all that, spiritual obedience is an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing process. And I mess up sometimes. I could not sit here and say that I do not while they are watching me speak. They'd say, girl, come on. I mess up sometimes. I might get a little excited if there is a conversation or if there is a space that I'm being shown, maybe not right now, a little bit later, but I'm so excited, so I want to. And I then unfortunately might get some kickback as a result of it. And that kickback is to make sure that I get back into line, to make sure that I am in that space of listening and receiving and doing what needs to be done in order to make sure that I am in alignment moving forward with them. When I do mess up, I try my best to be accountable. I try my best to say, speak very candidly to God and my guides and ancestors and say, listen, I messed up. I know that I should have done X, but I did Y, and it was my decision. I made the decision, and I will work really hard moving forward not to do that anymore. And they're unconditional love. They are pure light. They understand, and they they don't want to see us doing that over and over and over again. But they understand if we, are just honest with them and tell them, listen, I struggled a bit with obedience in this area in this way most recently, but I do want to get back in line. Like that, they're with us. Like they want to see the best for us. And they want to see us actualize all of the work that we promised God that we would do before we got here, because it will bring us such joy and a sense of peace and contentment. And they want that for us. So it has been a joy and a pleasure and an honor to be able to engage with everyone today about spiritual obedience. And very much looking forward to part two next week. We all have a wonderful and amazing blessed week, and looking forward to seeing you all soon. Thank you so much.